الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تنكحوا المشركات حتى يؤمن ولعامة مؤمنة خير من مشركة ولو أعجبتكم ولا تنكحوا المشركين حتى يؤمنوا ولعبد مؤمن خير من مشرك ولو أعجبكم أولئك يدعون إلى النار والله يدعو إلى الجنة والمغفرة بإذنه ويبين آياته للناس لعلهم يتذكرون صدق الله العظيم. From here now for four continuous sections, questions and problems regarding women are being discussed. The first instruction regarding this, لا تنكحوا المشركات حتى يؤمن. Don't marry mushrik women, idolaters, those non-believers who are not from even the people of the book. They will all be included in it. Don't marry mushrik women hatta yu'min, till such time that they embrace Islam, they come to believe. Wal amatun mu'minatun. And definitely, even a slave girl, if she is a mu'min, if she is a Muslim, khairum min mushrikatin, is better than a mushrik free woman. Walau ajabatkum, although she might appear to you to be much liked. Wala tunkihul mushrikeena hatta yu'minu. And don't give away your women in marriage to any mushrik man, till such time that he embraces Islam, he becomes a believer. Wal abdum mu'minun khairum min mushrikin. Surely a slave, if he is a Muslim, if he is a mu'min, is better than a free man if he is a mushrik, a kafir. Walau ajabakum, although he may appear to you to be very good. Ulaika yad'una ila an-nar, they are calling towards fire, towards hell. Mushrik women, mushrik men, they will be calling you, they will be driving you towards hell. Wallahu yad'u ila al-jannah, and Allah is calling you towards paradise, towards heaven. Wal maghfirati biiznihi, and forgiveness, his forgiveness with his permission. Wa yubayyinu ayatihi lin-nasi la'allahum yatadhakkarun, and he is making his commandments, his ayat, his signs very plain, very clear, so that people get reminded. They have the admonition. Instruction number two, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ, and they asking you about the menstruation. قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى, tell them it's a discomfort. فَاعْتَذِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ, so keep aloof from the women during their periods. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ, and don't go near them till they are clean. فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ, when they are fully clean. فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ, then you can go to them in the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who repent of their mistakes, and he loves those who keep themselves clean and pure. Nisaukum harsul lakum, your women are like a tillage for you. Fa'atu harsakum annashaytum, you can come to your tillage from wherever you like. Wa qaddimu li anfusikum, and forward good deeds for your own selves. This can have two meanings, because due to this sexual intercourse with women, with wives, one gets offspring. So his progeny is continued. So get for yourself, try to preserve your species through this act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for you. Wattaqullah, and have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regard him as he should have regarded. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ, and keep it in mind every moment that you will have to meet him. You will be presented before him one day. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give the glad tidings to the people who really believe. وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا اللَّهَ عُرْضَةً لِأَيْمَانِكُمْ أَن تَبَرُّوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَتُصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And don't use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your oaths as an impediment to your being pious and God-fearing and to your promoting peace among mankind. You take oath on Allah's name, Wallah. And on what? I will not do this good deed again. For the acts of charity, for acts of piety, for acts of making peace among people. You know, somebody sometime gets angry. I am not going to again indulge in your affairs at all. Although he was trying to make peace between two brothers. Wallah, I swear by God, I will not again indulge in your affairs. Why? You have to go on trying to make peace between the two quarreling brothers. So don't use the name of Allah for such oaths. لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم. Allah will not take you to task about your oaths which you take without any intentions. ولكن يؤاخذكم بما كسبت قلوبكم. But He will bring you to task for those oaths which were earned by your hearts with intentions. والله غفور حليم. And Allah is forgiving and forbearing. In this connection, the final orders will come in Surah Al-Ma'idah, that if somebody has taken an oath and now he wants to go contravene it, then he has to give the redemption, the kafara, the fidya, that will be described in Surah Al-Ma'idah. As I told you, the blueprint of the Sharia is being prepared in this surah, but in most of the matters, the final injunctions of the Sharia, that will appear in Surah Al-Ma'idah. لِلَّذِينَ يُولُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ تَرَبُّصُ أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُرٍ. Those of you who swear and take an oath of not having any intercourse with their wives may wait for 4 months. Somebody has taken an oath, I am not going to go near you, he says to his wife. And he takes the oath, swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this condition may continue for 4 months, not more. After 4 months, one has to take a decision. Either divorce her and make her way free, or who should return and he should start having the sexual intercourse with the wife. This separation can be only for 4 months. لِلَّذِينَ يُولُونَ مِن نِسَائِهِمْ تَرَبَّصُ أَرْبَعَةِ أَشْهُرٍ فَإِنْ فَاوُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. If they go back, if they break their oath, it's better. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also forgiving and merciful. وَإِنْ عَظَمُ الطَّلَاقِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And if they have decided for divorce, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-hearing, all-knowing. Now the question of talaq is being discussed in a very lengthy form. وَالْمُطَلَقَّاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. And those women who have been divorced should withhold for 3 periods of menstruation. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُنَّ أَن يَكْتُمْنَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي أَرْحَامِهِنَّ. And it is not halal for them, it is not permissible for them, that they should hide what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in their wombs. If there is some pregnancy, they must disclose at the time of divorce, so that it is known that this son or daughter belongs to her husband who has divorced her. So this should be clear absolutely. إِن كُنَّ يُؤْمِنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If they really believe in Allah and the last day, if they have real belief in Allah and the last day, then they shouldn't hide or conceal whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in their wombs. وَبَعُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ إِنْ أَرَادُوا إِصْلَاحًا. And their husbands have more right and authority to take them back during this period if they want to make things clear and better, if they want reconciliation. During this period, which is called iddah, one person has given one divorce to his wife. Now that wife has to wait for 3 months, 3 periods. During this time, if the husband has decided to take her back, he can take her back. The wife cannot refuse. He has the authority. أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ He is more powerful. He has the right to take her back. Fi zalika, during this period of their iddah, in aradu islaha, if they really desire reconciliation. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Now these words have been translated in two ways. لَهُنَّ, for them, that is the women. The women also are rights, just as there are rights over them of the men. You know, this is a very tricky question. In this marriage, what are the rights of a woman, wife? What are the rights of husband, the man? Are they absolutely equal? This is the philosophy of the modern civilization. They are all absolutely equal. If the husband can divorce, wife can also divorce. Equal authority of divorcing has been given in this present civilization to men and women. In Islam, it's not so. There's a difference. So actually, this ayah has been translated, although by many, that the rights of women are absolutely equal to the rights of men. وَلَهُنَّ, and for them are the rights, مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ, absolutely like those which are on them for the husbands. The women have, the wives have right over the husband, just like those rights which the husbands have over the wives. This is one way of translating these words. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The other is, for the women there are rights which are proportionate to the responsibilities put on them. And this is more scientific, and this is more rationally, logically connected, compatible with the whole family system of Islam. Islam puts certain responsibilities upon the husband, certain responsibilities upon the wife. Now rights always go parallel to the responsibilities. If the responsibilities are more, rights should be more. If the responsibilities are less, rights should also be less. Hence actually what these words mean are, lahunna, they have the rights, mislu nazi alayhinna, which are proportionate to the duties that have been put on their shoulders. I agree with this second translation. لَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ. But even if you take the first translation, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it clear, and for men over the women there is a degree of authority. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ. There is one daraja, one degree that the men have over women. وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. This thing will be discussed now in detail in Surah An-Nisa. Here, as I told you, the basic directive principles, basic philosophical ideas, they are being given. And the preliminary instructions are being given. But this thing you will develop into a full legal system in Surah An-Nisa and then finally in Surah Al-Ma'idah. At-talaqu marratan. Divorce can be twice. Fa-imsakum bi-ma'rufin aw tasrihum bi-ihsan. After that, one has to decide whether to retain the wife with honor or to release her with kindness. After two, if one gives third also, then he cannot take back. That is talaq-e-mughallas. But up till that time that there are only two divorces, so there is a choice that he can retain the wife. If during the period of iddah, there is no need of another fresh nikah. But if the period of iddah has been completed, now they will have to have a fresh nikah. But they can have it if the divorces are only two up till now. If it is the third one, they cannot marry again. It will come later on, inshallah. At-talaqu marratan fa imsakum bima'rufin aw tasrihum bi-ihsan. Divorce is twice. After that, either a retention with honor or a release with honor. وَلَا لِيَهِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَأْخُذُوا مِمَّا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ شَيْئًا. And it is not permissible for you that you take back from them what you have given them. What mahar and what dowry has been given, you cannot take on divorce. You cannot get it back. إِلَّا أَن يَخَافَ أَن لَا يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. Except if they think and if they fear that they cannot maintain the limits of the law of the Sharia. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَن لَا يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. If they fear they cannot maintain the limits of the law of Allah. فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِمَا. There will be no sin on both of them. فِي مَفْتَدَتْ بِهِ. Wherewith she gets her freedom. If she says, I am ready to forego half of my mahar, you release me. This is called khula. The woman, the wife can get khula. And in khula, she might have to forego half of the mahar. Maybe the husband says no. She might have to forego full her mahar. But in that case, the husband, he doesn't want to give divorce. It's the wife who is demanding divorce. In that case, the husband has the authority to demand that my mahar that I paid to you should be returned either in toto or in half. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. These are the limits prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't transgress them. Here just remember, we found the words, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. The ayat of the 23rd section regarding Psalm, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. I told at that time that at certain places the wordings are تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. These are the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed by Him. So don't transgress them. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. And whosoever transgresses the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. So verily, they are the evil doers. فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرَهُ. And now if he divorces her for the third time, الطلاق مرتان, that was the previous ayah. Now if for the third time he has also divorced, فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ. Now she will not be permissible in marriage. She will not be lawful for him. فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ. After this, حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرَهُ. Till such time that she marries another husband. فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا. And now if the other husband, now if he also gives divorce, فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِمَا. Now there will be no sin if they compromise again. يَتَرَاجَعَا. If those two again get into the marriage contract. إِنْ ظَنَّا أَنْ يُقِيمَا حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. If they think that now they can maintain the limits of the law of the Sharia. وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ يُبَيِّنُهَا لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. And these are the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is making them very clear for those people who know. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ سَرِّحُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. And if you have divorced your women, your wives, and they have completed the period of iddah, three periods, three menstrual periods, فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ. Now is the time to decide. If it is not the third divorce, it is the first or the second divorce. It is the time finally to decide. فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. Either retain them in a noble way. أَوْ سَرِّحُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. Or let them go and let them release with kindness. وَلَا تُمْسِكُوهُنَّ ضِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا. And don't retain them in order to do harm to them. If you are angry, well, I don't let her go. I'll punish. Because if she goes away, then you can't punish her anymore. If you want to retain her only to do harm to her, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whosoever does this, he has done wrong to himself. Because Allah Ta'ala will punish him then. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. And don't make Allah's revelations a mockery. Don't play with the laws of the Sharia. Because I have the authority to take her back, so I have taken back legally. Yes, legally you have done good, but if your intentions are to do harm to her, then actually you will be rewarded and you will be punished on the day of judgment. وَاسْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember Allah's blessing over you. وَمَا أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down to you the book. وَالْحِكْمَةَ. And the wisdom. يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ. And He is admonishing you with this. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. And have regard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Him and keep it in mind that He knows everything. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ. And when you have divorced your women and they have reached their period of iddah, فَلَا تَعْزُلُوهُنَّ أَن يَنْكِهْنَ أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ. So don't stop them from marrying their own husbands. Now for example, if somebody has divorced your daughter, and now because it is the only first or the second divorce, and now the husband wants to take her back, you say no. The Muslims have been not permitted to do it. You don't come in the way. If the husband wants to take her back, if the wife is also ready to go back to that husband, then don't come in their way. Because out of your pride and haughtiness, why did he divorce? This is not permissible. فَلَا تَعْذُلُوهُنَّا أَيَّنْ كِهْنَا أَزْوَاجَهُنَّا إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ. If they can agree among themselves, if they are ready to remarry, I told you, after the completion of the iddah, there should be a fresh marriage. Within the period of iddah, the husband can take without a fresh marriage. But after that period has been completed, now there has to be a fresh marriage. But now if the parents or the brothers or the relatives of the woman, they come in the way, we won't allow this marriage, this is wrong. ذَلِكَ يُعَظُ بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. These advices are being given to those of you who really believe in Allah and the last day. Because if you don't believe, then all these advices are useless. You won't pay heed to them. ذَلِكَ يُعَظُ بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Only those of you will be able to avail of all these advices who have real faith in Allah and the last day. ذَلِكُمْ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَرُ. This is more decent for you and more pure for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you don't know. وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْزِعْنَا أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ. And mothers should suckle their offsprings for two complete years. لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَةَ. For whom wants to complete that suckling. وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ. And on the father is the responsibility, رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ, to provide for their feeding and their clothing, بِالْمَعْرُوف, in the proper way. If you have divorced the wife, but there is a child who is suckling, you can say to your divorced wife, you have to keep this child with you and suckle your milk, and I will provide your feeding and your clothing. The father is responsible. لا تكلف نفس إلا وسعها. No one is burdened save according to his capacity. لا تضار والدة بولدها. No mother should be harmed due to her offspring. ولا مولود له بولده. In the same way, no father should be harmed due to his offspring. وعلى الوارث مثله. And the responsibility of a person will be transmitted to his heir also. فإن أراد فصالا. If the two, the parents, they decide that the weaning of the child, that mother will not suckle him or her. وَإِنْ أَرَادَ فِسَالًا أَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْهُمَا وَتَشَاورٍ. By mutual consultation they decide. فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِمَا. Then also there is no sin on both of them. وَإِنْ أَرَادْتُمْ أَسْتَرْضِعُوا. If you want to have foster suckling, أَوْلَادَكُمْ, for your sons and daughters, فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا سَلَّمْتُمْ مَا آتَيْتُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. There is no sin on you, you can do it. It is also permissible to have foster suckling from some other woman. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And have regard of Allah, fear Allah, and keep it in mind that whatever you are doing, Allah is seeing it. وَالَّذِينَ يُتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ وَعَشْرًا. Now this was the rules regarding the wives who were divorced. Now about the widowed women, what should happen to them? وَالَّذِينَ يُتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ. And those of you who die, وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا. And they have left behind them wives. يَتَرَبَّصْنَا بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ وَعَشْرًا. Those widowed wives should withhold themselves for 4 months and 10 days. فَإِذَا بَلَغْنَا أَجَلَهُنَّ. And when they have completed this period, فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَا فَعَلْنَ فِي أَنفُسِهِنَّ. Then now it is no responsibility of yours about what they do about their own selves. بالمعروف. But it should be in a reasonable way. Known methods of the society. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And whatsoever you are doing, Allah knows them. وَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَا عَرَّضْتُمْ مِهِ مِنْ خِلْبَةِ النِّسَاءِ. And there is no blame on you in that you speak indirectly of your proposal of marriage to the widows. أَوْ أَقْلَنْتُمْ فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. Or you conceal it in your hearts. عَلَمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ سَتَذْكُرُونَهُنَّ. Allah Ta'ala knows. Their idea will come to your mind. Such woman has been widowed, or such and such woman has been divorced. Now, if you like her, you can have some idea in your mind that I want to marry her now. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُوَاعِدُوهُنَّ سِرًّا. But don't make any agreement, any hidden any secret agreement of marriage. Till that time that the idda is completed, within this period, you can have some ideas, and you can mention it also in a beautiful way, in an indirect way, but there can be not a full agreement of marriage before the ending of that period. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُوَعِدُوهُنَّ سِرًّا إِلَّا أَن تَقُولُوا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. You can say something which is proper, which can only hint that I intend to marry you. وَلَا تَعْزِمُوا عُقْدَةَ النِّكَاحِ. Don't resolve the marriage tie. حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْكِتَابُ وَجَلَّهُ. Before that time that the period is completed, the law is completed. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. And know yourself. You should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in your hearts. فَعْزَرُوهُ. So be fearing Him. You should always be mindful that Allah knows even those things which are in my heart. He knows my intentions also. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And keep it in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving and forbearing. لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِن طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ مَا لَمْ تَمَسُّوهُنَّ فَرِضُوا لَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً. There is no blame on you if you divorce your wives whom you have not as yet touched or you have not fixed for them any bridal money. Marriage has been consummated, but neither they have met together. The husband has not touched the wife up till now. No marriage money, no bridal money has been fixed, no mehr has been decided. And the person, the husband, is divorcing the wife. It can be done. وَمَتْعُوهُنَّ. But give something in gift to them when you are divorcing. Although the mehr was not settled, the bridal money was not settled, not decided, but if you have divorced her, give something. عَلَى الْمُوسِعِ قَدَرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْتَرِ قَدَرُهُ. On the rich is according to his capacity, on the poor person according to his capacity. They should pay something and give some gifts. مَتَعَمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And this should be a fair provision. حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And this is an obligation on the good doers. وَإِن طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَمَسُّوهُنَّ وَقَدْ فَرَضْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً. Now this is another situation. If you want to divorce a wife whom you have not touched up till now, but the bridal money had been settled, now what to do? فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ. So now you will have to pay half of what you had decided and settled. إِلَّا يَعْفُونَ. Except if they give you something, if they forego something, if they say no, أَوْ يَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ عُقْدَةُ النِّكَاحِ. Or that person foregoes in whose hands is the tie of the marriage. What does it mean? The husband. The tie of the marriage is in the hand of the husband. He can give divorce whenever he likes. The woman, the wife cannot give divorce whenever she likes. So the tie, the knot of nikah is in the hand of the husband. So actually it is half that has to be given. But even the wife can say, I don't want to take this half even. Husband can say, no, I want to give full. وَأَن تَعْفُوا. If you forgo, that is, you don't give half but give full. أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. This is nearer to taqwa. وَلَا تَنْسَبُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Do not ignore the superiority between you. You are superior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the upper hand. So you should be generous. And you should give her not half but the full dowry. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Whatever you are doing, Allah ta'ala is seeing it. حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى. Guard all of your prayers, and especially the midst prayer. And there is nearly consensus among the Mufassireen that this is Salatul Asr. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. And keep standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very humble way, with humility. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ. And if you are in fear, for example, if you are going somewhere and you are fearing that enemy is pursuing you and you want to be safe, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ فَرِجَالًا وَرُكْبَانًا. Then you can offer your prayers even walking or riding. If there is no time that you can get down and then you can say the prayer in the usual manner, then when you are walking you can say your prayer. If you are riding over camels or horses, you can say your prayers on that. If there is danger, if there is khawf, this is called Salatul Khawf.
فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ فَرِجَالًا وَرُكْبَانًا فَإِذَا أَمِنْتُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَمَا عَلَّمَكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. When you are in peace and security, now you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he has taught you. مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ, which you didn't know before. Now, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given the details of the salah, the prayer in the Quran. So this teaching of salah that came to us through the practice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taught by Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. So actually this method of salah has been taught to us through firstly Jibreel and then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why the Prophet has said, Sallu kama raaytumuni usalli. You should pray just as you see me praying. So we have to copy. There can be differences regarding the traditions, but you know one thing should be agreed upon by each Muslim if he is a real mu'min. We have to pray just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray. But now regarding the sunnah, whether this is proved or not, whether this hadith is more strong and this hadith is less strong, that is actually for the jurists and the fuqaha and the people who are knowledgeable about hadith and sunnah, they will decide. But the argument would come from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَالَّذِينَ يَتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا وَصِيَّةً لِأَزْوَاجِهِمْ مَتَاعًا إِلَى الْحَوْلِ غَيْرَ إِخْرَاجٍ. And those of you who die and they leave behind them wives, they should leave a bequest in favor of their wives that for 1 year they should be provided. Actually, we people can't appreciate these problems. Usually, we people belonging to Indo-Pakistan subcontinent especially, we have only one mother. Usually people marry only one wife. So the mother, you know, for the heirs, she is the mother, not the wife of the father only. She is their own mother. So the feelings are different. But perhaps one person has 10 wives that used to be there in the days of the Jahiliyyah. Even in Islam, there could be 4 wives. Now one is the mother. The rest of the 3 are only the wives of your father. For them, there should have been a bequest. There should have been something decided by the person who has died. That for them, there should be a bequest. وَالَّذِينَ يُتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا وَصِيَّةً لِأَزْوَاجِهِمْ مَتَاعًا إِلَى الْحَوْلِ غَيْرَ إِخْرَاجٍ. At least for 1 year, they should be provided for food, for their clothing, and they shouldn't be turned out of the houses of the deceased person for at least 1 year. فَإِنْ خَرَجْنَا فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَا فَعَلْنَا فِي أَنفُسِهِنَّ. But if they themselves go out, if they decide to marry, for example, have a new marriage, then it's none of your business to obstruct their way. فَإِنْ خَرَجْنَا فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي مَا فَعَلْنَا فِي أَنفُسِهِنَّ. Whatever they want to do for themselves, you have no business to stop them. مِن معروف. Although this should be in the known way, in the according to the fair manner of the society. Wallahu Azizul Hakim, Allah is Almighty, He is All Wise. Walil Mutallaqati Mata'un Bil Ma'ruf Haqqan Al Muttaqin. In the same way, this was the discussion about the widows. Walladhina yatawaffawna walil mutallaqati mata'un bil ma'ruf. In the same way, for the divorced women also, there should be some provision. And this is a duty on muttaqin, people who are muttaqin, who are God fearing. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. In this way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His ayat clear, His signs clear, so that you can understand, you can follow them in detail and in depth, and so that you can follow them in letter as well as in spirit. This is a lengthy discussion, and most of these issues, because they are not very relevant for us usually. These things are actually abnormal in this society. But these are very important things to note it. 4 sections, full 4 sections are devoted to these problems. The most important point that you should infer is that in Islamic social system, maximum emphasis has been put on the social family life, the relationship between wife and husband. The main idea is that this family life should be strong. The institution of family should be strong. And because the institution family should be strong, there should be some one person at the head, at the top. One should be the head of the family. And there cannot be both. Both wife and husband can't be equal. There must be some inequality. You must have one at the top. You can have a managing director and you can have 20 directors. But you can't have two managing directors. There can be one chairman. But there can be so many deputy chairmen and there can only be one president. You can have so many deputy presidents, vice presidents. So in the institution of family, the husband has been given the upper hand. He can divorce. The wife cannot divorce. Wife can get divorce from the husband and it is called khula. And she has forego certain part of her dowry money, the bridal money that was paid to her. Some part she will have to forego if she wants to get khula from the husband. So this is definitely unequal. Actually, as men, as human beings, men and women are absolutely equal. No difference between them. But when they are wife and husband, they are unequal. Now, husband has the upper hand. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً For men, there is a superiority, a degree of superiority over them. And this will be discussed, as I told you, in Suratul Nisa. الرِجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَى That will come more clear and more obvious there in Suratul Nisa, inshallah. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ Alam tara literally means, didn't you see? But these wordings are repeated in the Quran, but they mean differently at different places. Don't you think about those things? Have you never thought about it? Have you never considered the case? Alam tara ila al-lazina. Have you never considered the case of those people, kharaju min diyarihim, who came out from their houses? وَهُمْ أُلُوفُ And they were in thousands. حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ Fearing death. فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُ Allah said to them, die. ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ Then he revived them. Then he again brought them to life. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bountiful to mankind. But most of the people, they are not grateful, they are not thankful. Now actually from here, for two sections, we are going to have an incident, we should say, or a part, a chunk of the history of the Bani Israel. Why? Actually now, when this Surah Al-Baqarah was being revealed, time was nearing for the Battle of Badr. There was going to be, as I told you, this Surah was revealed, just after Hijrah, but before the Battle of Badr. During these nearly 16, 17 months, this surah was revealed bit by bit. Now, you know, we are nearing the end of this surah. And in the same way, you must imagine that the time of the Battle of Badr was coming near. In the history of the previous Muslim Ummah, there was a parallel battle which was fought between Talut and Jalut. Although this Battle of Badr in Islam, it was during the lifetime of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The case with the former Muslim Ummah was different. During the lifetime of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no victory, no state was established, deen was not established. But after his death, the Bani Israel, they could conquer Palestine. But as I told you, they didn't establish one state, one government. They divided the whole country into 12 states, small states. And they kept, you know, fighting with each other. For 300 years, this was the state of affairs. Then came an event that their enemies, they overpowered them because of their differences. They exploited their differences. And as a result, they were turned out. Many of them were turned out from their homes. And then they requested the prophet of that time, Hazrat Samuel alayhi salatu wasalam, you appoint for us a king, a military leader, so that we join our forces together, the 12 tribes, under one banner, under one king, under one military leader, under one commander, and so that we can fight our enemies. Then there happened that battle of Talut and Jalut, and with that battle actually started their period of, which we call the golden period of the Jewish history, That is the days of Talut alayhi salam, and then Dawood alayhi salam, and then Sulaiman alayhi salam. They go to make nearly 100 years. And that is the golden history, golden period of the total history of the Jews of Bani Israel. Now that battle of Talut and Jalut is going to be discussed. But before discussing that battle, this incident is given, and about this, you know, there is no detail available in any Sahih Hadith. What does this ayah mean? Maybe it was some miracle, just as the miracles were there. About the Bani Israel, we have been reading the miracles throughout this surah. They were killed and then they were revived. And then they were put to death and then again they were revived. These things have been happening. So maybe it happened sometimes in the history of Bani Israel, but we can't say what was that event, when it happened, what were the details. They are not available. Maybe that some of them, they fled from their homes in fear of death. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them to death. Then revived them to show them that life and death is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't get life and you can't preserve life by fleeing from death. You must face death. You must face the enemy in the battlefield. Don't flee away. Don't run away, because you can die. There also, while you are running away from battlefield, you can die. So that might be the case. But one of the mufassireen, maybe the others also, the modern mufassireen, has given a rational explanation of this event also. And he says, and he is Maulana Maududi, rahimahullah, he says that this incident is referring to that event of their history, when, you know, after Exodus, Bani Israel were required to fight against the Canaanites and conquer Palestine. And Moses alayhi salatu wasalam was himself leading them till that time. But the whole of the nation refused to go to war against the Canaanites. That event also will come with detail in Surah Al-Ma'idah. So to that actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in allegorical terms, he is referring to this matter in these words, because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a punishment. إِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِيهُنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Had they not shown this cowardice, that they have refused to go to war against the enemies of Allah, they would have been given the control of this country at this very moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given them this country at this very moment. But because of their cowardice, their refusal to go to war, now this land has been made forbidden for them. إِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً for 40 years. They will go on, keep on wandering in this desert for 40 years. During those 40 years, all the people, all the Bani Israel who had come from Egypt, who were born and raised up in slavery, they died. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam also died. Hazrat Harun alayhi salam also died. All that generation died. And now a new generation, which was born in this desert, in free atmosphere, this generation came up. And then they fought against the enemies, and then they conquered and entered Palestine. So that may be allegorically, these words are being used. Mutu, that is, the old generation died. Sumahyahum, as if that nation was revived through a new generation that was born and brought up in the desert in free atmosphere. This is the explanation that Maulana Maududi has given. And I tend to agree with him, because this is something that doesn't fit wholly in the words of the ayah. But I think this is the nearest explanation that at least I have known up till this date. Wallahu alam. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفُ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا. Didn't you see, didn't you think about the event of those people who came out of their houses fearing death? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, die. سُمَحْيَاهُمْ. Then he revived them, brought them again to life. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely bountiful to the people, but most of the people are not grateful. وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Because now battle of Badr is nearing, again the injunction, قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Now you go to war for the cause of Allah, in the way of Allah. Don't shirk going to war. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And keep it in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to everything and he knows everything. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. Who is that who gives loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A goodly loan. What is a goodly loan? What is qarz-e-hasana? Qarz-e-hasana, one gives selflessly. He doesn't want to get any benefit out of it. He only wants to fulfill the requirement and need of his brother. This is qarz-e-hasana. I am giving you this money, you will return me this money when you can, when it is easy for you, and you just fulfill your requirements and your needs for the time being. This is qarz-e-hasana. In the same way, if you give Allah loan, and to give Allah loan, what does it mean? To spend for his deen, not for your own self. You are spending money for the deen of Allah, to make it supreme, to establish it, to propagate the message of Allah, to propagate the knowledge and wisdom of Quran. You are spending your money. So this is actually giving Allah qarz-e-hasana. And for, you know, providing for the Muslim armies to fight against the enemies of Allah. Purchase of arms and the rations, etc., etc. All these things are required to go to war. To fulfill these requirements, if you are spending, you are actually giving loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يُقْلِدُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who is that who has the courage, who is so much believing, who has the conviction in Allah and hereafter to that extent that he gives away his money in loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ. And it is Allah who decreases or increases the food or the wealth of a person. Don't fear that if you give your money away for the cause of Allah, your wealth will be decreased. No. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases in your wealth due to this expenditure that you have incurred in the way of Allah. وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ. It is His authority. He does it. It is His exclusive job. He does it. Either He increases or decreases. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And you will be returned to Him finally. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَأِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. Now this is the narration is of that battle between Jalut and Talut. Again note please that it happened about 300 years after Moses, alayhi salatu wasalam. If not after his death, at least 300 years after Exodus. After they came out from Egypt and they came to Sinai Peninsula. 300 years after that, this incident happened. Alam tara ilal malai min bani Israel, and that was the condition, as I told you, when the small states of the Israelites, of these tribes of Israel, they were endangered, some of them were captured by their enemies, many of them were turned out from their houses and their lands, and they were in a very bad condition, very bad shape. After all, they said to the Nabi, to the Prophet of the time, that now you please nominate for us one military leader, one king, so that we join our forces under one banner, and then with strength we can fight our enemies. Alam tara ilal mala'i min bani Israel min ba'di Musa. Did you never think about the chiefs of the tribes of Bani Israel, mala'i min bani Israel, min ba'di Musa, after Moses? Is qalu li nabiyyin lahum. When they said to their prophet, and he was Samuel alayhi salatu wasalam, Samuel, you can find the book of Samuel in the Old Testament. Ub'ath lana malikan. Now you nominate for us a king. And by that king, what meant is the military leader, a commander. Nuqatil fi sabilillah. So that we can go to war for the cause of Allah. Qala hal asaytum in kutiba alaykum al-qital wa la tuqatilu. Samuel alayhi salatu wasalam said, is there any possibility that if the going to war, is fighting is prescribed and made obligatory, then you refuse to fight? Is it also possible? You are very eager to go to fight, but when your fighting comes, it's a different affair. Just as you refused to Moses alayhi salatu wasalam, your own forefathers, they refused to go to war. Is there any possibility that history may repeat? What was the answer? قَالُوا وَمَا لَنَا لَا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They said, what's the reason that we will not go to fight for the cause of Allah? وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا. And we have been turned away from our houses and our sons. Maybe some of the sons of these people, they were taken captive and slaves. قَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا. فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالِ. When fighting was prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet, تَوَلَّوْا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ. Most of them turned their backs, except only a few. Wallahu alimun bizzalimeen. And Allah very well knows these evildoers. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ And their Nabi, their Prophet, Hazrat Samuel alayhi salam said to them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ تَعْلُوتَ مَلِكَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised for you and decided for you Talut. The name in Bible is Saul. Saul, Talut. And Talut, Quran gives this name because he was very tall. Talut, a very tall person. So maybe his real name was Saul, but this adjective, a quality name, that has been given by Quran and that is Talut. قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ تَعْلُوتَ مَلِكًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nominated for you Talut as king. قَالُوا أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ مُلْكٌ عَلَيْنَا They said, where from can he has the kingdom over us? How can he become king over us? وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ We are more rightful. We have more right to be king. وَلَمْ يُوتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ He has not been given, you know, any wealth. He has not been given abundance in wealth. قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ The Nabi, the Prophet, Hazrat Samuel alayhi salam said, It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has chosen him from you, out of you. It is his choice. وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ And he has given him abundance in knowledge as well as body. Physical power is abundant with him in his body. He was a very strong person bodily. And number two, ilm and understanding. These two things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him in abundance. If he has not been given abundant wealth, he has been given the abundant physical qualities and knowledge. وَاللَّهُ يُوتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءَ And Allah gives his kingdom to whomsoever he pleases. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ And Allah is all-embracing, all-knowing. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ أَنْ يَاتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتِ And said to them their prophet, That is, Hazrat Samuel alayhi salam also said to them that the sign in the ayat abulkehi, the sign of his kingship is an yatiyakumut tabut, that the wooden box, the ark that is very famous these days, it's come in news, that sacred ark is embedded in the foundations of Masjid-e-Aqsa that is present up till now. It's a wooden box in which those stones, tablets of stone, on which Torah is written, which was given to Moses alayhi salatu wasalam on the Mount of Tur. They are there in that box. Then the staff of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, the Asa, that is present there. Some other more sacred things in the history of Bani Israel, they are in that. That is Tabut al-Sakina, that is called. So that actually, that was the most sacred thing, as sacred to them as is Kaaba for us. That Tabut al-Sakina was so sacred for Bani Israel. They almost kept it with that box. And wherever they went, there was a chariot was reserved for that box, for that ark. And that ark had been taken away by their enemies. Now they were very much disappointed because the most sacred thing of theirs was taken away from them. And Samuel alayhi salam said that the sign of the kingship of Talut will be that ark will come to you again in a miraculous way. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتُ فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ In that box, in that ark, is peace and tranquility for you from your Lord. وَبَقِيَّةٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ آلُ مُوسَى وَآلُ هَارُونَ And in that box are the remnants of what was left from by the family of Moses and the family of Harun, عَلَيْهِمَ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ تَحْمِلُهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ That has been carried now by the angels. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ And in this is a sign for you if you really believe. And it so happened, as the Prophet has said, that one day they found that a chariot is coming, some bullocks or there's no driver, and on that chariot there was that ark placed, and that came to them. They now believed, and they now thought that actually, now Talut is our king, and he has been nominated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sign that was told to us by our Prophet, that has been fulfilled. Now in the next section, inshallah, we shall have the detail of that war which occurred between Jalut, whose name is Goliath, and Talut, that is Saul alayhi salatu wasalam. In between them the war was fought, and from that battle started the golden history of the former Muslim Ummah, that is Bani Israel. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.